A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. There are times in our lives when we all yearn for something. More contact with others, a special relationship, a better job. More time to oneself, more respect, more love, more support, or well, anything. It can all be summed up in wanting a more beautiful life. You just fill in the blank for what equals beauty for you. My specialty is healing our earliest traumas to discover our truest nature. I've been working at understanding this paradigm for a long time. Since 1999, when a client remembered her birth during a craniosacral session. She explained to me that she felt healing her birth experience would relieve her lifelong depression. That experience took hold of me with such passion so that years later I'm filling in the gap between our ancestral past and our present lives with recognition of our earliest life experiences starting preconception. It involves appreciating how we adapted to our difficulties and then integrating any overwhelming experiences into our current lives. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life. This podcast includes luminaries from the fields of infant mental health, prenatal and perinatal psychology, colleagues and experts in trauma resolution, advanced body workers, clients who want to share their stories, authors of pivotal books and articles, and people who, in my opinion, have sought out a more beautiful life. Join me, Kate White, and our honored guest as we explore a more beautiful life. Enjoy. Today on the show, I have Nir Estermann from Israel. Nir is a teacher of family constellations and embodied shadow work, the developer of a shadow work constellations approach. He is a body psychotherapist in the Gingrich method, and Nir is a staff member in the Constellation Path School, the Systemic Trauma Online University and Embodiment Facilitator course in Russia. Nir's teaching is focused on helping professionals to become deeper, safer, and more successful. He works mainly with therapists, facilitators, coaches, practitioners, and teachers. I met him through our birth journey, and he is about to give a workshop on twin dynamics or twin loss and his constellations method. And we had a fascinating discussion, and I look forward to hearing more from Nir. And today on the show, I have Nir Estermann, who's a family constellations teacher from Israel. He's new to me, and I'm very excited to get a chance to talk with you. Welcome to the show, Nir.
Thank you, Kate. I'm very excited as well.
Yes, I met you through Our Birth Journey, who's my sort of sister collaborative organization. I do a lot of teaching in Our Birth Journey, and I saw this coming up, and I attended your Q&A with Sarah DeVoy, and I'm very, very interested in this twin dynamics and constellations that you're doing on Saturday, but I don't really know all your history. I just got kind of hooked by the twin aspect because that's one of my passions. So I would like to give you a chance, if you could, Nir, just tell me a little bit more about you. I know that you do family constellations, and the shadow is your specialty. So could you just tell me and our audience a little bit more about you?
Sure. Where to start is the question. I was born at, no. So I'm working as a therapist, facilitator, and teacher for the last 20 years.
20 years,
yeah, almost. In a month, it will be 20 years. Mm-hmm. I began my healing path on a personal level. I had cancer when I was 22.
Wow.
And I went through chemotherapy and conventional therapy, and was assisted by acupuncture and different kinds of herbs to deal with the symptoms. But back then I was studying computer science and biology as my first degree, and I didn't think of any career in the field. However, after I finished my first degree, I took half a year off in India to to find who the hell am I.
Right.
And a part of it was understanding that I like research, and I got really nice research offers after my first degree. But I like it just as much as I like any other interesting thing. It did not touch my heart, at least not in the sciences. And so I skipped that career. And shortly after I came back to Israel, I began therapy for myself in some body mind or body psychotherapy technique called the Greenberg method, because I felt like my relationship, something did not work there really well. I was nice, I was okay, I had lots of female friends, but relationship-wise, there was this pattern that I couldn't understand why it came, but I would meet someone really nice and we'll spend a month or two together, and then something in me would shut down or disengage, or she would sense that it's not as it used to be and it would end. And then for several months, I would just be not interested in the other sex. And I couldn't identify why this was happening. And I said, okay, if I see a problem and I don't see a solution, it's time for help. And I thought that I wanted something that goes through the body and not through the mind, because I'm really good in talking. And I'm really good in giving lots of information and explanations. Kind of psychologist I would need in order to work with me, and they would have to be really empathetic and intelligent and understanding and compassionate. And I was like, I just want someone who can see me, even if I don't talk, or even if I go through my talking. And so I went into the Greenberg method, the body psychotherapy, and to work through my relationship issues. It began a very long journey. I learned how to work that way, and I managed to realize that having had cancer is an issue, and that I had to emotionally work through, and that being sick and helpless and lost and why it happened, and being so close to death at such a young age, and so on and so forth. And eventually I realized that I had other more ancient issues, and it had to do with anger and being allowed to feel anger, which I could not feel in my family. Anger was not a part of the system. I had to be nice or understanding, which was great as a therapist and very good as a first month dating. But after that, if I can't say no, I began to accumulate anger, and I didn't realize it. So this was, I later realized behind this dynamic. So I learned to get in touch with my anger and with all kinds of repressed emotions and experiences in my body. Then I met my wife. We have 2 kids, 4 cats. So this is a success story. Along the way, I also did a master's in science teaching. Researching how scientists from different disciplines learn from each other, because I'm interdisciplinary, and interdisciplinary learning was of great interest for me. And they also happened to pay for my other non-conventional training because I got a scholarship for that. It was cool, and I loved it, and I loved the people as well. Anyway, after about, I'm trying to make a long story short, okay, 20 years. But after about 12 years, I think, in a profession, I realized that I want to focus my work on working with therapists and coaches and facilitators, because this is where the synergy is best. and where what I have to bring is accepted in the easiest way, is absorbed best, so to speak.
I see.
A couple of years afterwards, I was introduced through an embodiment network into shadow work, and which was like, oh, every major breakthrough I did with myself and most of my clients was through getting in touch with something we could not be in touch with before, be it trauma or many times shadow. Like,
Oh,
this
wait.
was
Okay. All right. I need to interrupt. I
Sure.
need to interrupt here because tell me what is the definition of shadow work? And it seems like it's a thing, like
Changed.
a category that one can enter into. So say
Yeah.
more about that.
So the shadow is a Jungian term coined by Carl Gustav Jung. He wrote about it in different ways. I'll just say it in the briefest way I can. I consider the shadow as an area or a dimension in our being into which we push everything that endangers our belonging. So if I grew up in a family when we're not angry, if we love each other and we love each other, I can be angry. I have to push anger into my shadow. If you grow up in a family where being strong is frowned upon because you should be understanding and compassionate, so you push your strength there. And if you grew up in Russia, then you push your weakness there because there is a cultural shadow there around weakness. If you're weak, you die. And every culture and every family has what is unacceptable. And what you'll understand intuitively at a very young age, that if you have this in you will not belong, you will not be appreciated, you will not be loved. And there is so much we're willing to pay in order not to feel that, not to risk that.
Oh, that's
So that's the
yeah,
shadow.
wonderful. I'm letting that land. I'm just feeling like a puzzle piece click into place. So it's nice to have all that named. And you found the shadow work before you found.
No, I haven't found the shadow work. Shadow work was founded by Jung, and there are different people doing shadow work around the world in different modalities.
No,
What
you entered into the field. You
I
found
am.
it. You found it for yourself.
I
Not
found it at that
that
time.
you
Yes,
founded it.
I found shadow work.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I was invited to teach shadow work before I found shadow work. This is how I found shadow work. I was invited to teach it, and I was like, this sounds interesting. Let me have a look what it means together. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Oh.
but the, did you do this shadow before you did the constellations work? So,
Yes, for about 2 or 3 years I did shadow work. I was teaching in Moscow and in Israel, mostly therapists and facilitators and coaches, teachers. And then a friend invited me to a workshop, introductory workshop about family constellations. She said that she thinks I would like it. I said, okay. I have a full clinic for the last 10 years. I'm okay. My life is pretty much okay. I feel good with myself. Let's find some one more tool to have in my toolbox for my clients. Oh, was I wrong?
Okay, say more about that. What do you
Let's just say that 2.5 hours or so into the workshop, I was sitting in front of 35 people, trembling, shaking, crying, and doing peace with the burden I was carrying for my father. And with someone else standing as a representative for my father, and it didn't matter. I still felt everything in me. Yeah, that was the beginning. Then I went to learn with that teacher, Sakino, from Germany. And they felt like I needed more. In parallel, I went to study in the Constellation Path School, where I'm a teacher now.
Where
But
is
it was
that? Where is this school?
the Constellation Path is an association of teachers founded by Shai Gaster. So most of us live in Israel, one in Thailand, one in Portugal. We teach in person and online, some of us only in person, some of us also online. Yeah, but I began teaching before I became a teacher in the school. It was
So it's
nothing could
natural.
stop that. It was strong
No.
me. After that introductory workshop, I did a constellation to myself. 3 weeks afterwards, I was teaching an advanced students from Moscow the first version of shadow constellations, because they already knew shadow work with me, so I just added one more layer. A very simple, basic version, but still, half a year afterwards, I did the first how it's called, practice training, and the rest is history.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just natural. Well, I have so many questions. So, well, the first one is about the shadow. Now, I know Carl Jung about his work and, the consciousness, the collective consciousness and things that he writes about and his how it was for him. I read the books. But so isn't it a psychodynamic thing? Do you have to be a psychological person to understand the shadow?
Thankfully not. You have to be a person because we all have shadow.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to identify some of our shadows. The easiest way is just look around and find someone that triggers you. But they're not harming you or abusing you in any way. You just don't like them, or you just don't like them at certain times if you happen to be married to them or be their parent. And you look at the thing that you judge them for, like the characteristic, and say, I can't stand that you are so impatient, let's say. Okay. And then it's like there is a process to that, but let's say we jump a few questions ahead, and at some point you turn towards yourself and say, is it possible that I am in some way impatient too? Am I in touch with my impatience? Do I bury it? Did I try to kill it? What do I pay for the privilege of being so patient and understanding and nice? What will I gain if I become just a little bit less patient, a little bit more impatient? What would open up for me? Maybe I'll be able to cut long, irrelevant talks into short ones and have more time for myself. Maybe I will be able to take decisions much faster. Maybe I'll feel safer because I don't have to always be patient, no matter if it doesn't fit me or not.
I
That's
see.
just one
So
example.
it's projection. You're talking about projection.
We can identify it through projection. We can identify it also through our persona. So, who am I identifying myself with? If I'm identifying myself, for example, with a very knowledgeable position, and I did that. My roommate and partner in work in first degree, it took him half a year and a half to tell me, you know, Nir, I just realized you're not always right. Like, I never said I'm right, but I gave that atmosphere that I know, even without pretending, meaning to. It was just, I was so identified with this, I'm a knowing person. But if I went behind, there's a part of me which is scared shitless by not knowing and not having the answer and not knowing to explain where it all came from. And maybe I don't know what I'm doing, and maybe I'm a fraud and imposter syndrome and whatever. But it's another way of getting in touch with your shadow. You could also look at what makes you shameful about yourself. Shadow have lots of shame involved.
Oh, it's so
It, it, it's
fascinating.
a it's a very simple principle, and you can touch it from all kinds of directions.
But you don't have to be a psychodynamic person. Like I've always thought about Jungianism, you do this lifelong journey of being in therapy and you have psychodynamics, you have dream work, you have you don't have to do any of that to do
I
shadow.
am not a Jungian
I
trained in any
okay.
way. Only my supervisor is Jungian analyst because I find it useful. for my development. But no.
Okay. All right. So,
and anyone can be in touch with their shadow. Anyone can integrate with their shadow, and that's the blessing here. You don't have to. I mean, yes, you'll have more shadows, but like anything else, you can be a person who develops and looks for certain paths of development, and you can be a person who just wants to make the symptoms go away.
That sounds useful. I mean, we all have symptoms of if we have a shadow, and we all have a shadow. I have to say one thing I really love. There's a lot of things I like about Jung, but one thing he said is that if you carry a bright light, you have a big shadow. And so, is that true?
Well, it's a complicated question. I mean, looking at Jung, this was definitely right for him. You know, while being this amazing person, he was also sexually abusing clients and having sexual relationship with clients. And he had lots of issues. You know, I say in my trainings, when I introduced one of our fathers, he would have been probably institutionalized at a very young age today. And diagnosed with multiple definitions from the DSM. In general, you can see that many people who have the drive to carve a very big path through the world also have a very big shadow.
Okay. Say more, say more.
If you feel very content with your life and just happy with what you're doing, and you don't feel any strong drive to change the world, then you know maybe you're more complete, and maybe more you have more acceptance of your different parts. Maybe you're just unaware, who knows? Okay, but if you have this drive to bring something new into the world and to make people realize something, and to have a new way of working, and bring a new piece, another piece of God into the world, into the actual world, why are you driven so much? Behind strong drive, there are typically shadows. Some of them are clear and easy to see, and we see it, unfortunately, a lot on lots of teachers in all fields, not just personal development, that the position tends to take people into all kinds of evil power dynamics. But
evil power dynamics, that sounds really scary.
Well, a teacher uses his or her power in order to take power from their students, and or to abuse emotionally, and or to abuse sexually, sort of evil.
I see, that's in the shadow. But how about the benevolent teacher? Is there such a thing as the benevolent teacher that doesn't have?
Of course, you're talking with one. Of course.
I'm so glad.
Of course. Look, most teachers are not just, I mean, even the teachers who hurt or abuse are not necessarily evil to the core. Okay. Something is happening there. The dynamic is evil. The teacher is not always a psychopathic narcissist. Okay. The teacher can just be prone to certain dynamics. And not aware of them. That's why teachers need supervision, in my experience. Not only therapists, but also teachers need supervision. But the how to explain it. I have two lessons on that.
Well, okay. Well, why don't we?
Yeah.
Let's bookmark this conversation, because I want to hear, like, you're getting ready to teach this twin dynamics and family constellations on Saturday. I'm sending people to that because,
thank you.
Well, it's so important, because there's not very many places where someone can go and work on their twin dynamic with ease. And this seems like a wonderful tool. A wonderful place to engage, whether or not it's your twin or your brother or your ancestral history. So for listeners out there, can you describe family constellations? And I know it's like people stand in for your family, but then, well, tell me more.
Yeah. Another one of these very long conversations I'll try to put in one sentence. family constellations is a modality that allows us to look systemically at our issues from a phenomenological perspective. In more simple words, it means that whatever symptoms that we have, in maybe physical symptoms, relationship symptoms, emotional symptoms, mental symptoms, or just, it's not even, we won't call it a symptom, it just, there is a sense to how I live, it just is always with me. There is always some heaviness, or there is always some fear, or there is always some sense of danger looming, or something. All of these are not necessarily just our own. They belong to our family system.
Yes.
They can be, of course, reinforced by our personal experiences. But often the reason we experienced it personally is because the dynamic was already there in our family system. It could be that the ancestor of ours experienced it before us, and we see families generation after generation, the same things happen. It could be that it's not so much intergenerational as it is family systemic, like alive family systemic. For example, we see children taking on the soul level, it's not a conscious decision, but taking on all kinds of mental issues and different kinds of illnesses in order to keep the family safe. Like, if I will be sick, then you will be together. I can even think about myself when I had the cancer, and it was the first night after I was diagnosed, and I was in the hospital, and my family came, and friends from university came. I was in my first year of my first degree. And I remember there was a moment there when I very coldly looked at my family and asked myself, okay, if I will allow, what will serve my family best right now? Will it serve them if I allow myself to be weak and vulnerable and they would come together around me? Or would it serve them better or support them better if I'll keep my strength and my invulnerability? Now, in the middle of that crisis, this is what I was thinking about. I think I'm not the only one who is doing it. Many adults, but also many children, do this choice unconsciously to sacrifice themselves to some degree in order for the family or for the parents to have it easier somehow. Children have this sort of magical sense that we can save the family.
Yeah,
from falling apart.
Absolute. Babies think that way too. I mean, babies think feel that feel. It's not a thinking thing; it's a feeling thing.
It's systemic. It's there. It's like the system is sort of taking them and putting them someplace which is not free. So, in family constellation, we look at this kind of dynamics and we disentangle. From either the ancestral issues or from the family position that brought us there.
I see.
It's a very powerful way of working through trauma and through relational traumas. And we often see that, you know, usually in the normal therapy, we look at ourselves and our childhood. And if we go deeper, then we go into the womb or the birth. Or the mom that had post-birth depression. So it's because of that. But when we go through family constellations, we can see that the mother indeed had post-birth depression. But maybe she had this depression because her mother was absent, and her mother was absent because her father died in war when she was four.
Yeah.
And we go, instead of just trying to fix something in the here and now, or the here and now for a childhood or babyhood or prenatal, and we said, let's go back and heal this line. And sometimes we need to go back a while, and sometimes it's enough to stay in the more limited area of the here and now, today, my relationships today, or my birthing and my prenatal state.
Okay. Well, how does this work online? I mean, you say you are an online teacher, also in person, but so how do people access all this online? Oh, wait, I get it. No, I remember you say when you people sign up, they should get these sticky notes, and you can just, yeah?
You can use sticky notes, and you can use any item in your room, and you can do constellation in your mind's eye, and they will still work. I've done
I see.
conferences with 800 people all doing it at the same time in their mind's eye. And most of them, at least, are really powerful experiences. Constellation works on the soul level. And the soul, unlike the psyche, is not so rooted in time like the psyche. The soul, in a way, is the part of us that was here before the body came and will stay here after the body will go away. So the soul doesn't care so much about time, and it doesn't care so much about space. I think in one of my first training groups, there was a client from, well, I mean, there was a student from Germany and another student from Australia. And she was really sensitive. So 3 days before we met for a lesson, not knowing what will be in the lesson, she had a horrible headache. And the horrible headache belonged to the mother of the student from Germany, who we found out only during the class that he will be the one having the session. And the headache ended when we finished the constellation.
Interesting.
And
Symptoms. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're rapidly running out of time near, and I know this is a, I have a lot more questions, but it feels good on my in my soul to hear you talk about this, because in pre-perinatal work, we're working a lot with the ancestors, things pushing into the present. We're working with really helping people get that their soul is here. It's the birth of spirit and matter, and that their our work is to us about consciousness, which is very there when we come in. We just get layered by these experiences, and sometimes we're there living in the ancestral experience. Now, on Saturday, you're going to be doing this twin dynamic work, which is a very painful pattern that I've worked with people, and something that I've specialized in helping people see that they're in a dynamic that feels it can be very destructive. So I'm wondering if you could just say a few words about your upcoming workshop. Hopefully I can get this out so people can hear it and seek you out. So what are you going to be doing on Saturday with Our Birth Journey?
So the workshop with our birth journey is going to be a very experiential and practical one. I will spend almost no time on theory, and because we did a webinar on that, and if you're interested in the workshop and want to know more, you can ask for the webinar from our birth journey. We will mainly just do sessions with people from the audience. The sessions will maybe sometimes be just a one-on-one thing and everybody's watching, but I think that most of them would involve representatives from the audience standing in, the missing twin, the mother, the children, the grandfather, whatever, because all the family is affected when even a small death at week 7 is still a death in the family, and it affects
Yes.
everyone. And so again, we work phenomenologically, so I can't tell in advance what will I do. I can say that I will sense into what is needed for this person to reach some kind of reconciliation with that specific history. And of course, it's very different history if it's the mother who comes, who experienced the death as a from a mother perspective of one of her twins, and if it's the surviving twin. Or is it the grandchild of the surviving twin? Or is it the father who is usually out of the picture because we don't think about the fathers as, it's a mother thing having lost a baby in the womb. At least sensitive fathers feel that. I know I felt that in a miscarriage, abortions. So we'll be working with that and allowing people to experience what they needed to experience safely and could not, and so to speak, allow movement which were stuck in energetically in the system to unfreeze and find a better position and better resolution. That's the plan.
Okay, well, I certainly hope that many people will go. I feel like many of us come in with twins, excuse me, and not all of them feel burdened. I mean, I've met people who are fine with the loss and not bothered. However, I meet so many people who get caught up in the horror or the confusion around this death that happened right next to them. And I had tried to mediate some of that by helping people understand what it feels like, what they're in, and then how to resolve it. And it is my theory, this is my notion, that if we can heal the twin dynamic or the triplet dynamic, we become much better partners, and we can do it in collaboration is a blueprint for humankind. And there just isn't enough of it in our world. And so I think that people can encounter themselves. Perhaps it's just the shadow, but I really feel like we are meant to be in partnership, and we're meant to have collaborative, enjoyable, and fruitful projects and lives on planet Earth. And this twin dynamic often creates pain, and you know, people get averse, people drop people like. There's a lot of relational aspects to twin dynamics. So I'm excited to hear. Maybe we can check in after your workshop and we can talk a little bit more, Nir.
Gladly. I will gladly meet again.
Yeah, well, we're about out of time. I have two more questions for you, Nir. And one of them is, you have described this workshop, this experiential work, as phenomenological. Which I know what that means. You know, I studied the lived experience of the body, but people out there don't know, many of them. What is that phenomenology? Just a short little sentence.
Short answer, yes. Okay, short answer. It's about noticing what we feel and experience and see and hear and smell and understand and et cetera. Yeah. Instead of trying to find meaning, we go into acknowledging that this is what is here, and allowing a meaning to come through this bundle of sensations. And instead of trying to say, "Oh, I'm angry now," like, "I feel this and that, and I want to do that, and I'm thinking about you this," and maybe, "Oh, I'm angry."
I'm angry.
Oh,
I'm scared.
Angry.
So you're talking about just feeling our body, feeling the felt sense of it, you know, through our sensations, what makes it most alive for us.
It's a part of it, but it's also where our attention is going to. Now I'm looking at you and I'm being drawn to the picture with the roots and the tree with the roots.
Yeah.
And for me, the fact that I'm being drawn to it says something. It doesn't say something specific. It just says this has meaning. So when I'm noticing, and phenomenology is about noticing the phenomena. So when I'm noticing what's going on, I notice that the nice plant, I don't think about it. And the other in the fetus, it doesn't concern me. But that tree, it's a part of our conversation. I don't know how yet. Maybe we'll find out in the next one.
Okay.
That's an example of a logical approach.
All right. Well, we're just going to say to be continued, .. near Estermon of Israel.
Thank you.
And I like to ask all my guests, you know, what makes your life more beautiful? So for you, Nir, what makes your life more beautiful?
Constantly bringing myself back into touch with myself and with the energetic matrix of creation.
Mm-hmm.
A bit hippie, I know.
That's beautiful. It's very soothing. The soul work that you do is soothing. It's alchemical. So I definitely look forward to hearing more. I'm sorry I can't come on Saturday. I have teaching of my own. But we'll have you back and we'll continue down this path a little bit more. Thanks for coming on the show today, Nir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast. To support our show, please go to Patreon / A More Beautiful Life.